Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be asking the question, are you running from Jesus? But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for all that you place within us, God. Father, I thank you for our health. I thank you for our breath. I thank you for our strength. I thank you for our vision. I thank you for our mobility, God. Father, I thank you for all of our systems that allow us to rest and to work and to speak, to communicate, to love you and to love ourselves and to love others, God. Father, I thank you for how you have fully equipped us with a knowledge of your word so that we can operate in knowledge. Father, I thank you for us coming into complete and total agreement with you that we will dwell with you and you will dwell with us in perfect unity and harmony, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for you allowing us to submit to the full authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, making him our master and allowing him to lead, guide, and direct what we do through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. God, I thank you for your word that you magnified above your name, being our guide, being our rule, allowing us to hear your voice and understand your purposes more clearly, God. Father, I thank you for us being able to spend time in your word so that we can see and share the insights that we are gleaning from your word as we study your word each day individually. And we're sharing that word with one another and with others, so that they can learn to study your word and come closer to a relationship with you that is genuine. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song by the sensational Pearly Gates. Can I get a witness?
Tell somebody, say, I've been born again.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask somebody and hear something. Have God done anything for you? Have he done anything for you? Have you done anything for you? If there's somebody here that know God has been good to you, and you're not ashamed of that fact that he's been good to you, I want to see if I can get a witness in here. Somebody that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know exactly what he's done for you. I need to ask you just one question, and that question is, can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? You've ever had a problem that he brought you through, you should admit it, you should confess, you should stand up right now and be a witness. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. Can I get a witness? 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 Look up here, if the Lord have done anything for you, if you've ever had a problem that some witnesses in here. Look, testify that the Lord has saved your soul. Can anybody here stand up and be a witness that the Lord has made you whole? Is there anybody here that's listening right now that knows that you've been blessed? Well, then it's you that I'm counting on right now to stand up and be a witness. Can I get a witness? To the Bible, watch this. If I could ask that lady with the issue of blood to stand up and have something to say about how the Lord healed her body of that disease that day, I'm sure that she would say that this man Jesus not only has healing in his hand, but he's got more healing in the hem of his garment than all the doctors ever known to man. Can I get a witness?
Welcome back to the Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be asking the question, are you running from Jesus Christ? And the reason we're going to ask this question tonight is because most of the world is, everyone in the world is looking. If you are not looking for Jesus Christ, you're running away from Jesus Christ, because everything people are doing is trying to justify being able to do life without God. And doing life without God really begins with rejecting his son, Jesus Christ, because God says that there is no other way to me except through my son, Jesus Christ. You yield to my son, Jesus Christ. You make my son, Jesus Christ, your master and Lord. And one of the reasons that we have to point this out is because everything that you see on a daily basis that is being targeted toward people is to draw you away from Jesus Christ, to diminish the position and the prominence of Jesus Christ that the Word of God says God magnified above his name. See, God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the living Word of God. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the written Word of God. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the spoken Word of God in all three forms. And we have to acknowledge his preeminence above all things, because before anything was, Jesus Christ was in the bosom of his Father, and all things were created through him. God didn't do anything before he brought forth his son, Jesus Christ. All things come through him. And so what we want to do is understand how we fit in this whole plan, how we fit in this whole plan. What I'd like to do, though, is I'd like to start by taking a look at the end, because we know that God says that his plan is that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. We know that everything that the devil does is to try to thwart that plan, to stop that plan from becoming a reality. So everything he does is to separate God from man. The way that he has to do this, though, is to tear down the bridge between God and man in the minds of people. And that bridge is Jesus Christ. The Word of God says there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. That word mediator is referring to Jesus Christ as the high priest who has made intercession on our behalf. He makes intercession on behalf of the saints. He gives us access to the throne of God through his perfect blood that he made available to us after obeying God even unto death at Calvary. So what I want to do is I want to look at the end of this thing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 to 26. It says, "For as in Adam all die, so through Adam's disobedience, through Adam's sin, all of mankind was made dead. The Holy Spirit was removed from us. We didn't have access to Holy Spirit within us for 4,000 years until the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Then, after Calvary, it says, even so in Christ, all shall be made alive," right? Now, this is what's powerful and what we need to really understand, because this is a controversial verse because of the scale. Now, it says, "For as in Adam all die," right? All mankind had Holy Spirit removed from them because of Adam's disobedience. We were not designed to be in submission to anything but God. And yet, after Adam disobeyed and sinned and lost his Holy Spirit, all of a sudden we become subservient to the devil. Adam handed over his authority over the whole and dominion over the earth to the devil. And it said, "As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive." Now, what's controversial about this is that all, just like all people lost the Holy Spirit for those 4,000 years, well, for the past 2,000 years, Holy Spirit has been made available to all people, to all mankind. And so we would ask the question, well, why does not all mankind take advantage of the Holy Spirit? Well, in order to have access to the Holy Spirit, you have to make God's Son, Jesus Christ, your master and Lord. You have to submit to his authority. And the world rejects this idea. So people who reject the idea of bowing down to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as their master and Lord, they seek to replace Christ with all kinds of things. They seek to replace Jesus Christ with men, with objects, with money, with positions, with status, with all kinds of things. And I'm not going to get specific because people will say that I'm picking on people. And I don't want to pick on people. What I want to do is make the point that Jesus Christ has made life available to all mankind. See, it's available to all mankind, but God, the Father of Jesus Christ, who is Spirit, the Ancient of Days, he knows who is going to make his Son Jesus Christ their master and submit and believe. And he knows who is not going to make Jesus Christ their master and submit and believe. And the reason he knows this is because God is the only entity in the universe that knows the past, present, and future. His Son Jesus Christ is not in this unique position, and he says so in Acts chapter 1. And so what we have to understand is that we are in a special place because we know that everyone has eternal life available to them. The price has been paid for all of mankind's sin. Just like Adam's disobedience brought death upon all mankind, Jesus Christ's obedience brought life upon all mankind. But now all mankind has to make a decision. Just like God said to his people in the Old Testament, he said, I set before you life and death. And then he says, choose life. Well, it's one of those things where when people choose death, God knows they were going to choose death and cursing instead of life and blessing. But God's desire is not that you choose death and cursing. Desire is that you choose life and blessing. But because God is all-knowing, God knows what you're going to choose before you choose it. But it would not be loving of God to not allow the choice to be yours. See, if the choice was his, God would say, I am going to forgive everybody of everything, and I'm going to bring you all. I'm going to restore you all. I'm going to bring you all. But God says love. It covers a multitude of sins. But love is also two ways. See, love is not a one-way street. Love is not a one-way agreement. Love moves in two directions. So God moved first. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that whosoever would believe on him would be made alive, would be perfected. And see, we have to allow ourselves to be transformed as we renew our mind to the Word of God so that we are no longer conformed to this world of death, sickness, and disease, but we are transformed by renewing our mind to the Word of God, and we are made alive through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, many people will do many things to avoid Jesus Christ, the Son of God. One of the most fascinating of these things, though, which impacts our Christian community more than anything else, is what happens when the devil tries to use the Bible against us. What happens when the devil tries to use the Bible against Jesus Christ after his 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And he starts quoting scripture and says, it says that you'll be able to do this. And Jesus Christ comes back with the word, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's why it's so important for us to know and understand what's written in the scripture so that we don't fall into the trap that the devil sets, trying to confuse us, because many of us, we've not gone to theological seminary. We've not gone to college to study the Bible necessarily. But the devil tried to use the Bible against us in order to make Jesus Christ go away. One of the ways that the devil uses the Bible to try to make Jesus Christ go away is by saying that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, but he is his own father, which is ludicrous. Not only is it ludicrous, it's pagan. It is the equivalent of a Greek myth saying that the Zeus came down and did what he did, whatever he did in the Greek myth, right? But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Word of God says about Jesus Christ. What it says about Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ dwelt in the bosom of God and God sent him. And just like God sent Jesus Christ, after Jesus Christ was raised from 3 days and three nights being dead in a stone tomb and seated at the right hand of God, then the Holy Spirit, the gift, the comforter, the teacher, the guide, was sent to dwell within each and every one of us when we make God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Master and Lord. See, the only one who can't be sent anywhere is God, because God is spirit, because God is everywhere. See, there are three qualities of God that make God God. One, he is omnipresent, meaning he's spirit. He's present everywhere. There is nowhere where you're going to escape God. He's everywhere in everything. The other quality of God that makes God God is he is all-knowing. So there is nothing God does not know that exists in the past, present, or future. He is the only entity that is omniscient. Then God is omnipotent. Omnipotent means all-powerful. There is only one being in all of existence who is all-powerful, that is God. And if you understand those three qualities of God, then it is possible for you to really understand and comprehend how important it is to understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the visible manifestation of everything that exists in his Father, God Almighty. And when Jesus Christ was sent, he had to humble himself, as it says in Philippians 2. It says that he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant and took on flesh. See, originally, Jesus Christ was in the bosom of his Father, and he was in spirit form. He was with the Father from the beginning of time. Nothing was created that was created without him. And all things came forth after him. He is the firstborn of all things. And for us, he's the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one to be raised from the dead and permanently take his place with God, preparing a place in the heavenlies for us and acting as the high priest and mediator between God and man. Look at what it says here in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, but each one in his order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. So it says that even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ first fruits, so Christ was the firstborn from the dead. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. So when Jesus Christ returns, those who are Christ, those that made Jesus Christ, the Son of God, their master and Lord, are going to be raised from the dead and changed, transformed at his coming. And see, that is what we're looking for, forward to. That is the hope of our glory, is the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at which time we will truly be made alive. We will be in whatever form Jesus Christ is in now. Look what it says in verse 24. It says, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. So see, the rule, authority, and power that you see in the world right now is going to be put to an end. And after Jesus Christ has put all of his enemies under his feet, look what it says in verse 25. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So see, look at what happened here. Adam caused all men to die through his disobedience and allowed death to enter into the existence of humankind and to dominate our existence for the past 6,000 years. But for 4,000 of those 6,000 years, the Holy Spirit was not within us. But after God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin, to be laid in a stone tomb dead for 3 days and three nights, and then God raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. Then he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I for the past 2,000 years. Now it says that after everything is done, then the end comes when he, Jesus Christ, delivers the kingdom to God, the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. Now, you know that God had to establish rule, authority, and power in the earth to deal with disobedience and death and chaos. And see, what is coming, what is being prepared is a perfect kingdom with no death, no disease, no disobedience, none of that chaos that Adam allowed into the existence of mankind, making us all servants instead of us having dominion. But when Christ made all alive through his obedience to God, even unto death, God raised him from the dead and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I. So we are part of this kingdom that he's going to deliver to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, and all power. For he must reign, Jesus Christ must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. But it says the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. We have to look forward to that. We have to relish in that. We have to understand that God is doing a complete and perfect work. But the devil is going to try to get you to believe a lie. And see, a lie is the difference between the word and the world. It's that L. The word with the lie in it is the world. It might seem a little too creative to throw the L in there like that, but think about it like that. Is when you take the lie of the devil, which the devil is the father of lies. He created the lie. The only thing he created is the lie. First one he lied to was himself and convincing himself that he could overthrow an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. And in attempting to do so and failing, then he found reality looks like. Look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And we have to begin to see what God says about his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can say the same thing. And there are many verses, but these are the ones I want to focus on tonight so that we can be established in what we're saying. But it says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, it says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them." So Jesus is with Peter, James, and John, top of the mountain. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." They hear the voice from the cloud saying, while Jesus Christ was speaking, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God is speaking from the cloud to Peter, James, and John while Jesus Christ is yet speaking. God says from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." There is no question about what that verse is saying, and we have to be in a place where we humble ourselves and yield to what the Word of God is saying in this respect so that we don't make the mistake of missing Jesus Christ. And the devil will come up with all kinds of crazy arguments to make you believe something that's just not true. That becomes the equivalent of a Greek myth saying that Jesus Christ came down on his own volition and he was God and he died and then he raised himself from the dead. That is not what it says. What it says is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was brought forth before anything else. He was in the bosom of the Father and he was sent. He was sent by God into the world to take on the form of flesh and to live and to die and to be raised from the dead by God and be seated at the right hand of the throne of God and given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth by God. And then the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within you and I, so that we could continue the work of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ was on earth, it said it was God in Christ reconciling the world back to God. Well, now it's God in Christ and Christ in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And our job is the same. We're to be reconciling the world back to God. Look at what it says in John chapter 18. John chapter 18 is very powerful. It says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared to us. That is important to understand. And now, when we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, this is where we are all going. This is what we have to understand we are doing as mature Christians. As mature Christians, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." See, it's the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ that we are to be growing into, and we are to come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And once we get to that point, we're going to be untouchable, unstoppable. When people see Christians, they will know who we are. They will see the power. We will walk in that power, and we will not be deferring to others who claim to have a greater power than that, because they don't. There is no greater power. See, the power of the Holy Spirit within you is unlimited power. You have to stand in that. You have to walk in that. You have to take hold of that so that you are not made subject to something that is less than the power that God has placed within you, because God paid an incredibly enormous price for you to be in the place that you are right now, able to come into his presence at will and speak with him at will in your heavenly prayer language or in your natural language. You are able to fellowship and commune with the Most High whenever you so desire, because you are a dearly beloved child of God. It was not always that way. In the 4,000 years after Adam's disobedience, there was only one group of people who were able to be represented directly before God. That was the children of Israel. They were represented by one man, the high priest of the children of Israel. And that high priest of the children of Israel went in one time a year on behalf of the people and made sacrifice for the people. And then throughout the rest of the year, there were sacrifices and offerings and feasts that were made continually on behalf of the people to tend to their condition of sin and making their position right before God. And they had a lot of things they had to do, a lot of laws that had to be observed. When God is asking us to do one thing, and we struggle with this one thing. The one thing is making his son, Jesus Christ, our master and Lord. Why are you running from Jesus Christ? Why are you running from Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Why is that controversial? It is the essence of our faith. It is what we believe that sets us apart from the rest of the world, because Jesus Christ was the game changer. He was the game changer. So I want to look at Colossians chapter 1 tonight. I want to look at Colossians chapter 1 very closely so that we can understand what God is saying to us, what he's asking us to do, why he's asking us to do it the way he's asking us to do it, and to see what we can do to make things right. Because, see, God has empowered us with the knowledge of his word to discern the difference between those things that are carnal and of this world and those things that are spiritual and of the heavenly. And the things that are spiritual and of the heavenlies give us full dominion, power, and authority to subdue all things in this world as he leads us to, as he sees fit. And we have to begin to walk in that dominion so that we are not subjugating the things of God to these temporal things of the earth that are not greater than the power that we walk in each and every day. So look at what it says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to be reading down to verse 2. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here in verses 3 to 7. It says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of the God, of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So we have to look at the faith that these people had in Christ. See, our faith is accounted to us as righteousness. We are considered the righteousness of God through our faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he accomplished at Calvary. And see, if you go around saying that God came down and died for you, you're wrong. God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and he died for you. And then God raised his dead son, Jesus Christ, from the dead after 3 days and three nights dead in the stone tomb. And then seated his son, Jesus Christ, at his right hand and gave his son, Jesus Christ, all power in heaven, which was his, to have and hold for a period. And then he gave him the power that Adam handed over to him when he sinned against God. And he transferred his legal dominion over the earth to the devil. And then he gave him the power that the devil had over those fallen third of the angels that were cast out of heaven that we refer to as hell. And he gave Jesus Christ dominion over them as well. So all power in heaven and earth and under the earth was given to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by his Father. And when we understand this had to happen just as it happened, and it is not subject to us to turn it into anything other than what it is. See, we heard of that. They heard of the faith in Christ Jesus that the people had and of their love for all the saints. See, it's our love for all the saints, not some of the saints, not just the rich saints or the educated saints or the black saints or the white saints or the Hispanic saints. We're the Asian saints. It's all saints, our love for all saints. And the body of Christ is enormous. The body of Christ transcends class, nation, rank, political affiliations, all of these things. The body of Christ is preeminent, and the head of that body of Christ is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you have to understand this. Otherwise, what happens is you fall into the trap of becoming one of the followers of these groups that make some man the head of the group, and every other word you hear is this man, this, and this man, that, and this man, this. And what God says is one man plants, one man waters, but God gives the increase. See, it could be a woman that plants, and it could be a woman that waters, but God gives the increase. So neither man nor woman, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who gives the increase. And see, the way that God has designed it is that all things happen through the preeminence of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the hope that's laid up before us in heaven is the return of his Son, Jesus Christ. See, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so now look at what it says here in verse 9. I'm going to be reading down to verse 18, speaking of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. It says, "For this reason, we also, the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." That's Jesus Christ. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God," speaking of Jesus Christ. "He," Jesus Christ, "is the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things were create, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. See, this is speaking with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, there are things that you will never hear God referred to as the Son of Man. You will never hear God referred to in the scripture as the firstborn from the dead. See, you have to understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the image, the manifestation of the invisible God. See, the Son of God would be all things that God is manifested in the flesh through his divine conception in the Virgin Mary, his birth, his life, his crucifixion, and his resurrection by God from the dead. He is the firstborn over all creation. See, before anything was, he was. And that is what we read of in John chapter 1. And so we have to understand, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. We have to get down to this. Now, look at this, what it said in verse 13. It said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. Now, this is speaking of God who delivered us from the power of darkness that we were subject to after Adam's disobedience. And God conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins. And see, God took us out of the power of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of his love. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, would be saved. See, we have to understand that God designed this thing perfectly. We have to say what it is without apologizing. And there are going to be people who get violent about some of this stuff. And we have to understand that, look at what it says earlier in this. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So there are three things in this thing that are key. Filled with the knowledge of his will, the knowledge of God's will. And remember what God's will was earlier? God's will, God was speaking of his will in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is God's desire for us. The church, the body of Christ, is to come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, here's one thing that's fascinating. Remember, there are these verses, and they speak of how, of course, the demons quake. And in the presence of God's power. And so And they know Jesus Christ. They know the Son of God. They know the power that the name Jesus Christ holds. And God tells us that every knee in heaven and earth and under the earth will bow to his Son Jesus Christ, to the glory of God Almighty. See, that's important. That's in Philippians and chapter 2. And we have to get to the point where we bow to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, now, and stop running from Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as if you are so great that you don't have to pass through the blood of Christ to enter before the throne of God. It's the blood of Christ that paid your admittance. It's the blood of Christ that removed the veil that separated you from God, that separated mankind from God, that only one man could pass through before the presence of God, which was the high priest of the children of Israel on behalf of the children of Israel once a year, right? But now we can boldly go before the throne of God at will. And when we speak in our heavenly prayer language, we are in that secret place of the Most High. We have passed through the blood of Christ, and Christ is behind us, and the throne of God is before us, and we are in the secret place of the Most High. I'll tell you, if you're ever in a scary situation, if you are ever in a place of fear, if you ever feel alone, the thing to do is to speak in tongues, and you will find yourself in perfect peace. You will find yourself led by the Holy Spirit. You will know that you are not alone, that God is with you, and that you have power to overcome and to resist any situation. That's why it tells us to humble ourselves before God, and he will exalt us in due time. We are to resist the devil, and he will flee before us. And one of the main things we have to resist are the lies that say that Jesus Christ is anything other than the Son of God. Jesus Christ is anything other than the head of the body of Christ. The lies that say Jesus Christ is other than anything except the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have to get to the point where we understand who Christ is, and we begin to allow him to be that to us, to be our master and to be our Lord that gives us access to the throne of God. He is our mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. And if you attempt to make Jesus Christ anything other than who he is, you're missing so much. You are missing so much. Don't miss the love that God has for you, because God says, hey, you love my Son, I love you. We have to get to the point where we are looking. And see, that's what I was going to speak to earlier, is we have to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, the knowledge of his will is in his word. That's why we study God's word. And when you study God's word, it's important for you to hear what the word of God is saying firsthand. It's important that you're not relying on what I tell you or what someone else tells you, because people are going to tell you partly what they've been told themselves and then partly what they have studied. And then sometimes they'll tell you partly what they've been thinking while they've been studying. And so it's important when I teach that I speak directly from the word, so that you don't think I'm making this stuff up. What you find is God will say what he means and mean what he says, and he will say it over and over and over and over again, so you don't have any question about what it is he's saying or doing. Now, the devil is going to try to confuse you, and that's his job, to try to separate you from God. See, it's God's will that you dwell with God and God dwells with you. But the only way for that to happen is for you to make God's Son, Jesus Christ, your master and Lord, for you to submit to the authority of his Son. And you make the Son of God, Jesus Christ, your master and Lord. And God says, when you do that, then you are my child. And God knows who's going to submit to the authority of his Son, Jesus Christ. And God knows who's not. God knows who's going to believe the Greek myth that allows people to believe they're civilized, allows people to be empowered to be moral. God's not looking for your morality. He's looking for your total submission. He's not looking for you to find a place of social acceptance and you to be a better person. He's looking for you to embrace the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit and the assignment of reconciling the world back to him. And God said, hey, I made the first move. I gave you my first and my best. I gave you my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And I was separated from him in death for 3 days and three nights before I raised him from the dead so that I could reconcile you. I could bring you back. I could send the Holy Spirit to be within you so that you could be what I originally designed you to be. God didn't design us to be subject to the whims of the devil and the curses that Adam placed us under, the curse of death, the curse of disobedience, the curse of disease. This stuff is a joke compared to what God's plan is for us. But that's why it says in the Bible that eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has planned for his people, for the saints. See, God knows who's going to believe. God knows who's not going to believe. And so we have to get past this idea that there's more than one way to get to heaven. Past this idea that there's more than one way to get to God. There's only one way to get to God. It's through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's no need for you to apologize for that. There are some very respectful people who believe some things that are very much not in the Word of God. They're not what God has said. They're not what God is doing. They're not what God has designed. They're not embodied in the Word of God. God says those who add to and take away from his Word will be dealt with severely. And if God magnified his Word above his name, just imagine what he does to those who manipulate his Word in order to mislead his people. Look at this. I'm going to read this again so you get the fullness of what God is saying to us. Because God is serious about this, and we have to be equally serious so that we don't become victims and we don't allow others to become victims. Speaking of the preeminence in Christ, we're reading from verses 9 to verse 18. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'm going to stop right there again because I started speaking of the knowledge of God's will being embodied in his word, knowing that the knowledge of the word of God is the knowledge of the will of God, which is contained within his word. And then it says, in all wisdom. Now, the wisdom that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit within us gives us divine wisdom through the word of wisdom that we have access to. And that wisdom is the application of the knowledge that is embodied in God's word. See, wisdom is an action word. Wisdom is what you do with what you know. So when you are walking in all wisdom because of your knowledge of his will and his word, then you can renew your mind to the word of God and then do what God tells you to do, because God will tell you what to do and how to do it. And then as you obey and you do, then this last piece, and spiritual understanding, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The wisdom is the application of that knowledge, but the spiritual understanding comes from you repeatedly obeying God, you repeatedly testing God's word and God's promises in your life, and walking out on that power and embracing the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you develop spiritual understanding, which comes from repeated application, repeated wisdom. When you do what you know repeatedly over time, you begin to understand why God is telling you to do what he's telling you to do. See, it's not so necessary that you understand why God is telling you to do what he's telling you to do initially. That is called obedience and submission to the will of God, and you need to do that. I highly encourage you to do that. It's going to bless you. And that is why it's called wisdom, doing what you know God is telling you to do the way that God is telling you to do it. You operate in that way. But when you operate in that way over time, what you do is you develop in your life and in your heart spiritual understanding. It begins to click. You understand why God is telling you to do what he's telling you to do. And all of a sudden, you don't feel so lost. You don't feel so bewildered. Matter of fact, you feel like you could almost explain it to someone else in a way that they could comprehend it, so that it's not just magic. This isn't magic. This is spiritual power and manifestation in the earth. This is not a joke. This is not to be played with. You are supposed to be doing what God has given you to do, walking in the fullness of that. And at first, you will not have the spiritual understanding that you will gain over time. But your faithfulness, see, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness comes from repeatedly obeying God and repeatedly trusting God and consistently applying the word in your life. And that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. And we know that fruit has seed within it. See, the fruit that is produced in your life of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, that fruit of faithfulness has seed in it. And the seed is what allows you to be fruitful in your life and then multiply by the fruit that you produce, producing seed that is sown into the lives of the people that you impact, who are drawn into the kingdom, who also produce fruit and seed in their life. And see, your spiritual understanding allows you to operate with that knowledge that God has empowered you to spiritually be fruitful and multiply, to be restored to the place that he originally designed Adam to be in, because now you have the Holy Spirit within you just as Adam did. See, before Adam died, he was a light being. He was surrounded by light. He was in the presence of God continually. He wasn't afraid to be in the presence of God. He was afraid to be in the presence of God after he sinned and had to be covered up with something because he wasn't covered up with the light anymore. See, he was clothed in light. And he worked alongside God, doing, naming the animals, doing the work in the garden. He was busy with God. And all of a sudden, he got thrown off, way off course. And it was sad. And see, that's what we don't want to have happen. See, the devil is trying to use everything he can to separate those whom God loves from God. And his intent is clear. See, the devil tried to come at God directly and take his throne, take his power, take his dominion, and he failed. And he said, well, you know what? I can't get at God directly, but I'll get at God's people. I'll harm them. I'll separate him from them. I'll cause them to walk away from him. And when we believe the lie, we are allowing ourselves to be drawn away from God. But that one who draws us to God is his son, Jesus Christ, who gave us an example. He washed his disciples' feet before he went to die for them and us. He prayed for himself, he prayed for them, and then he prayed for us before he was crucified. And it says in verse 10 here of Colossians chapter 1, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. See, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I'm going to stop there. Because, see, we're to increase in the knowledge of God. How we do that is by studying God's word. We are not to be ashamed, disappointed in our expectations. And that's why God tells us to study, to show ourselves approved before God as workmen of the word that needeth not to be ashamed, as we rightly divide the word of truth. We've seen over the years that anybody can divide the word of God. That's why we have so many different religions. But to rightly divide the word of God is to allow the word of God to speak for itself, to study the word of God so that we know what God was actually saying when he wrote, preserved, and protected his word over all of these years. And so when we get into this and we allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, we will walk worthy of the Lord. We will be fully pleasing to God. And one of the ways we please God is by intentionally serving God and by not serving money. Intentionally pleasing God by not pleasing people. Intentionally trusting God by not leaning to our own understanding. And intentionally obeying God by operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, instead of rejecting that power and leaning to our own limited strengths, talents, and ability. And then it says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, the way we're fruitful in every good work is by operating out of that unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. See, when you operate the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you don't let people talk you out of it, because see, the Holy Spirit is the gift from God. It's the pneuma hagion. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the gift within you. That gift has the power, the ability to allow you to operate nine manifestations or nine operations of that gift. That gift allows you to speak in tongues and interpret, bring forth word of prophecy, receive word of knowledge, receive word of wisdom, receive and be able to discern spirits, allows you to perform supernatural acts of faith, allows you to perform miracles, allows you to perform acts of healing so that those that you minister to are healed. You have to believe to operate out of this power, and as you do it, people are drawn to the kingdom of God. And as you increase in every good work by operating that power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are going to be fruitful in every good work. And the way you increase in the knowledge of God is by studying God's word and then doing what God has given you to do. See, God shows us what he's done in the past, what he is doing in the present, and he tells us what he's going to do in the future so that we can be friends of God. See, if we did not know what God was doing, he wouldn't call us friends. He would call us servants. But Jesus Christ said, a servant doesn't know what his master is doing or why his master is doing it. He's just doing what his master told him to do. But he says, I call you friends. And then he says, you're my friends if you do what I say. Do what I say. Stop playing around. And see, this is another reason people try to avoid Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their master. Because they feel like in pride, they can go directly before the throne of God themselves. They say crazy things like only God can judge me when God says I've given all judgment to my son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't acknowledge him, you don't acknowledge me. That's what God says. God's not playing around. Why? So why are we running from Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, we're going to stop. And it doesn't matter who told you what, when, or how respectful they were, or how elevated they were, or how educated they were. They're not saying what the Word of God says. They have a problem. And if you follow them, you'll have a problem as well. So look at what it says. We're going to be fruitful in every good work. We're going to increase in the knowledge of God. We're going to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. We're going to be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. In him all things consist. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was brought forth before anything else. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So look at what it says here about being reconciled in Christ in verse 19, verse 23. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So we have to understand that it pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness should dwell. And by him, Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, Jesus Christ, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through the cross of Jesus Christ. We were once aliens and enemies in our mind, enemies of God by wicked works. Yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. See, Jesus Christ died for you. Died for me. We need to stop playing around with this. We need to understand that the enemies of Christ are the enemies of Christ, but they're not only our enemies, they're God's enemies. They're they'll stop at nothing because their job is to separate you from God. And all they got to do that is separate you from his son, Jesus Christ, and make you back away. Look at what it talks about, sacrificial service for Christ. It says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. to them God will to make known that are the rich, what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the mystery. You have the unlimited power of Jesus Christ within you, which is the hope of glory. And when we see him, it says we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. When Jesus Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who are alive will be changed. We will be transformed. We will meet him in the air together with those which who have been raised from the dead right before us. It says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works mightily in me. See, don't make the mistake of missing Jesus Christ. Don't allow other people to intimidate you, to browbeat you, to talk you out of who Jesus Christ is in your life, to talk you out of who Jesus Christ is, period. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and he was sent to live, die, and God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, and he is going to present God. He's going to deliver the kingdom to God at the end, after he puts all and into all rule and all power and all authority. Jesus Christ must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. See, Jesus Christ is not playing around. And so we should not be playing around. Jesus Christ has made it available. He made all alive. All shall be made alive through Jesus Christ. So if you feel that Jesus Christ is tugging on you, if you believe that God is calling you, then that call is going to lead you to a knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when you submit to God's Son, Jesus Christ, and make his Son, Jesus Christ, your master and Lord, then God is going to become your heavenly Father. And you are going to be in the household of faith. And that faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, is going to make you the righteousness of God. And that righteousness is going to be something that you can share with others through your faith as you continue to testify of God's goodness in your life and let others know how God transformed you and that God can transform them so that they can live a more than abundant life spiritually first, then mentally as they renew their mind to the Word of God, then emotionally as they do what they learn in the Word of God, and then physically, and then financially. They can live a more than abundant life spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. And see, they can operate out of the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues with interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing, operating in absolute power, embracing the power of God. And as you embrace the power of that free gift of the Holy Spirit within you, then you will produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And that fruit will be love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and kindness and patience and faithfulness and self-control. That fruit is going to overflow into the lives of others. And the seed from that fruit is going to cause others to come into the kingdom, because you're going to be displaying the supernatural power of God in the earth in such a way that the lives of others around you are going to be transformed. And you are going to be the source of the More Than Abundant Life to others as you share the knowledge of God's Son, Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection with others. See, you having your feet shod with the preparation of the good news of peace is going to bless others. It's going to empower others. It's going to encourage others. And I'll tell you, those who know me from back in the day, they understand that if God can transform Lester Carver, he can transform me. If God can heal Lester Carver, he can heal me. If God can use Lester Carver, he can use me. And I'll tell you, this is real. We have to allow the power of God to be real in our life so that the power of God can be real in the lives of others, so that others can be transformed by the knowledge of God, and they can be known by God, and God can and they can know God. See, you know God as you study God's word, as you speak to God, as you develop your relationship with God, as you speak in your heavenly prayer language to God, and you allow him to speak to you and through you, as you speak into the heavenlies. See, we're to be having an impact. There's a need for the power of God to pass through us back into the heavenlies. Because, see, unbelievers believe that the devil is in hell, when the Bible says clearly that the devil is seated before the throne of God. He's before the throne of God accusing the brethren daily, accusing you and I daily. He's getting authority and permission to wreak havoc into the lives of those who just don't believe, who aren't walking in their authority. And see, when you don't believe the word of God, when you don't submit to the authority of God's Son, Jesus Christ, when you don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you are walking into a trap of the devil. And you don't want to do that. What you want to do is get to the place where you submit to the authority of God. And then you allow God to exalt you at due time. You humble yourself before God. And see, when you resist the devil, you resist doubt, worry, fear. You resist unbelief. You resist temptation. It says the devil will flee before you. And that's important for you to understand. That's the power that you have within you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, which allows you to produce in your life love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. That fruitful life that you're being asked to develop is supposed to become more fruitful and supposed to become exceedingly fruitful. God is looking for you to do the most spiritually. So don't get distracted by this carnal nonsense that comes up in cycles over and over and over and over. Focus on what God has given you to do. Learn to live within 24-hour compartments of God's grace and God's mercy, and he's going to bless you. Needing to know what God's grace is. God's grace is all the great things that we get from God that we don't deserve. God's grace is also his enabling power that allows us to do all that he gives us to do. And God's mercy is all the punishment we get, we don't receive, that we deserve. It's that whooping we don't get when we deserve that whooping by when we don't do God's things God's way. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you just blessing someone, strengthening someone, encouraging someone, and allow them to be glorified through your Son, Jesus Christ, and draw near to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, Tuesday Night Teachings, Be Ye Transformed.
the